Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hey there. It is May the 6th, 2012. Welcome to the Sunday show. I'm being stood up by four different people. Either that or they can't get through, and I don't know why they might not be, but carry on, I will do. So yesterday was Cinco de Mayo, a cultural celebration for our Mexican brothers and sisters. And that includes Toltecs, Aztecs, and Mayan folk, or Maya folk. Viva! A long time ago, when counterculture created the bones of revolt in the 60s, everyone was told that the ages were changing. This weekend's parody full moon is smack dab in the seventh house. It's in Scorpio. And by the way, Jupiter, it's aligned with Mars. Now it happens. Combine it with so many differing cosmic elements, like May the 5th being the Aztec dating for the end of the fifth sun and the rising of the sixth sun, or the sixth world. That's ominous. But as you see, we're still here. We're still chugging along. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes indifferent. But check your Hopi prophecies, because that's the new beginning. Let's look for some of the positive. Today we're going to talk about the anxiousness beneath our feet out here. And May 6th being the Aztec, Hopi, Maya, sixth sun, being a new day, we're going to discuss that too and the positive aspects of everything. And hopefully my callers will get here, or my compadres for the show. And so this is Here Be Monsters, and we'll play in with something appropriate. Golden oldie, but hey, it's relevant. It's relevant. Nicole, welcome. Flash, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's our father image, Jack, has not called in, and I'm thinking he may have fallen asleep or something. He's never late. He never doesn't call. He did say he'd be here tonight, but he's been awfully sick for about 3 weeks, so. Gosh only knows. hopefully he'll call in. And Anita may just have called in. Anita?
That's me.
I knew it had to be.
I was having a really hard time getting logged in. So, but anyway, I'm here.
Oh, well, that could be the whole problem with the whole thing. Today, I was talking to all you guys today, all you gals today, and I was thinking to myself, my gosh, I had a conversation with David Williams, Krell, over at Roundtree, and we were talking about how anxious it is out there. The oppressiveness of people are on edge. You noticed? A lot of on edge.
Right. Mm-hmm. Definitely a lot of stress.
Including me.
Yes. I hear that.
That's not unusual for an Aries, though.
Yes. Amen to that, myself included.
I'm a pretty chill Pisces most of the time.
Nice.
Not me. I'm pop gun. I'm a pop gun fart. I will lose my temper, but that's only been since I sort of noticed that I was having the big change. So my patience is sometimes just wonderful. It's golden. Other times it's incredible. And I know there's been lists going around of all of these different changes within the spiritual community.
Right.
I think there's a composed list of 51 different symptoms of the shift in consciousness on the planet. Has anybody seen that besides me?
I have.
No.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely, we've talked, Nicole and I have talked about, the symptoms of the cranium, your head is getting these shooting pains occasionally. Things like this.
That's one of them. I've had them more on the other end.
Okay. Disruptive sleep patterns.
Definitely.
That go beyond just, anything that's hormonal or chemical. You're eating. Either you're eating more or you're eating much less.
Mm-hmm.
Much less.
You know what? I think with the eating, it's like I'm not even really concerned about what I'm eating anymore. It's kind of like I'm just putting food in my mouth just to keep going, just to fuel. But it's not like it's an important, it used to be important, and it's not important to me anymore.
Yeah.
Wow. So does that make sense? Yeah, well, you're diabetic, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, me too. And I'm used to having to pay a lot of attention, but right now I'm only having to pay attention to what will go through my system and not so much, you know, the carbs.
Right, right, right. Yeah, what I can digest, what's easy, you know, what my body is not going to, how could I say, have a hard time digesting or
yeah.
a hard time tolerating. I guess that
yep.
that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I felt the same thing during the day when I'm pushing forward in whatever I'm doing. It's like I find sometimes I'm a little annoyed that I have to stop to eat or because I feel like I'm going to pass out, you know. And I'm learning to balance, you know, the needs of the body and to give it the little things that it needs, like berries and nuts and things. They get me through the day. And then at night I find that I'm hungry and I need to have good foods. Like, I'm more about cooking my own food. I don't have taste for, like, outside food so much anymore.
I agree. Well, it's really funny how my shopping patterns for food have changed. Because, you know, I would probably be quite, I'd spend a lot of money on food, and now it's just a focus more on healthy food and
uh-huh.
real food. Instead of orange juice, I'd rather have the oranges. Does that
right.
mean?
Well,
yeah,
that's much better than you get your fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't want the stuff that has the added anything in it. I'd rather eat the fruit, the vegetables. And I've really tried to be diabetic or to try to be vegetarian, but that I failed very miserably at that. But one of the cool things is now I don't eat as much meat, and I find that that's more easily tolerated.
Yeah.
So
I have a question for you all. Have you noticed in your general community and your everyday, Nicole, when you're out doing what you do, working with different people on editing your TV show and things like that, the people you meet and greet every day, mm-hmm. Flash, the folks you might see in your community, and Anita, you get around quite a bit. I mean, you're politically just a butterfly out there. Have you noticed that folks are anxious or on edge or, you know, is there a pattern? Do you see a pattern out there?
I definitely see people who are pushing through it or freaking out. And just because they're pushing through it doesn't mean they're freaking out, but it's like they've accepted that, you know, there's some freak out here because those people that are pushing forward, the ones around me, we're all in the same boat where we're doing everything we can to shift our life in the exact direction that we've always wanted it to go, but because of fear, we never did. So it's like this belief system and breaking through those fears, or you're just completely freaking out. That's what I've seen.
And Flash, what are you picking up from people?
Well,
I mean, you work with people as a healer and a reader,
yeah.
and what are you picking up?
Well, and also with the animals, it's pretty
yeah.
much, you know, they're having a harder time, particularly the really sensitive ones. And you know, I always tell people the best way to protect your animals is to take care of your stuff, your own stuff. Because they're going to act like that first line of resistance to whatever junk is coming at you. And whatever is coming out of you that's like just too much, they'll absorb that too. So the more you tend your own garden, that helps the animals. But people in general, I think, it's like whatever your big bundle to look at is, we're all doing it.
Yeah.
You know, if your relationship has sucked for a really long time, people are like, oh, God, do I stay or should I go? If the job has been really bad, if your health is, whatever it is, whatever the big deal is for you, that's where we're working.
I also see people who are avoiding it.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah.
But at one point, I mean, I've been doing psychic work for about 43 years, and maybe about 20 years ago, I said, okay, Goddess, listen, I want to keep doing this, but I got to work with the growers. I can't be, you know, this little tarot reader who's going to be the fortune teller. Mm-mm. I give up that job. I want a better job. And since then, my clientele has been a better caliber. I said, I'll take a pay cut. I'll see less people. Just give me the ones who really want to work. And that's been more or less happening. And so, you know, there are, you still get the yes butters, you know. Well, yes, but I, well, really, isn't this hurting you? Well, yes, but I.
Okay, yeah. So on the more broader venue, the broader view that we affect and is affecting us, and you know, the changes going on in the world. How is it affecting you, and how do you see it affecting the world you know? I mean, that's a broad question. I get it. But I'm looking for something here that is an anchor to an anxiousness, a phenomenon that I think is very closely connected with all these alignments. And, you know, we're being hit with solar flares all week long this week.
Right. And you said a big one today.
Yes, and it ushers it in, and it goes through the ninth of bang, 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 and it's going to be hitting on both sides of the planet. So it's a long, you know, a long home run there from the sun. And while it does mess with our magnetic fields, it's also sending energy, information, and light to this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if the information, energy, and light it is sending, because light is information. I'm wondering, and I wonder what your opinion is, or what you see or feel or intuit, ladies. What is the message coming? Because you know that the closer this star comes to its fantastic alignment with the center of the galaxy, the more it's going to talk. Do I make sense?
Always.
So what is the phenomenon? I mean, the sun speaks, our life giver speaks. You know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What was it? What was it they used to say? spectacles, testicles. The great giver is fighting with the past right now, and I think it's an exposition or an exposing of the sun as our life giver on not just the levels of energy, but also as our great, you know, it's been Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and also in some cultures, maiden mother and grandmother, you know, maiden mother and crone. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so with everything that's going on and all this technology that has brought us to this point, everything that's going on, what is the answer to the anxiousness that people are individually going through right now? Because I see it in myself. I know Anita is in there, and neither is anyone else, but we're all on Facebook, and one of our guests right now is in one of my home rooms, as we say, at Journey. And just today I was expressing my opinion, and I got into it with, you know where I'm going with this. It's like you don't mean to tangle assholes so much with people, but it comes up. It's like, no, I'm sorry, I can't let that one go. Do I make sense, or am I out of bounds, too?
Well, I think we have the option to let it go. And
yeah.
I think depending on our personal charts and the kind of transits we're having, we're more and less able.
So what is the planetary transit, Flash, for all of us right now? What is the best advice, the best tack to take, you know?
Well, for me, anyway, I really like to be aware of what's going on. I mean,
yeah.
I don't need to know every damn tragedy that's floating around the planet, but I like to basically know the main things that are up. And then from there, I like to take a more spiritual view and solution towards raising the vibration. It's like, for me, it doesn't matter in some ways who's in office, except it just gets better or worse.
Yeah.
But my job is still going to be to work on raising the overall vibration and consciousness of the people.
Gotcha.
Anita, and with me, it's a different approach, even though I pretty much follow the same spiritual path that Flash does. But I have a weird, well, it's not weird, but it's a natal point in my chart where it's in the, my Sun and my Mercury are in the third house. And
communication,
both in Mars, yeah,
in Aries.
Which makes Aries. But it's like I must communicate and I must do it now. And you know, in spite of being spiritual, it's almost like my task is to disseminate information and put it out to as many people as possible. So
me too. It's, you know, it's just a little slightly different tack with it.
Yeah, exactly, and it's. With me, it's very political, or it's very much newsworthy, and it's
mm-hmm.
very much more newsworthy than what we're getting, of course, from the mainstream media, because I
yeah.
find that since I've turned that bloody TV off, that idiot box, I'm getting the same amount of news, but it's balanced. It's what I can take in,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like... In other words, if I had been listening to the TV 2 weeks ago, I would have heard nothing but Trayvon Martin for hours and hours. And not that there's anything wrong with that. That was a horrible and very, very sad story. But, you know, when Michael Jackson died, it was 2 weeks of the news of nothing but Michael Jackson and nothing else.
Yeah, same thing over and over.
And now that I have no idiot box, I can listen to a little bit of the news on the radio, and I can catch a lot of the news right online. I can watch all the same TV shows like Stewart and Colbert and stuff like that. And it's funny because Roseanne said this just recently. She said, it becomes amazing to think that we are getting our news from the comedians. Because
yeah.
we are.
It's true. They're the only ones telling a little
news
bit of truth.
I personally,
about how ridiculous shit is by watching comedians. I mean, a perfect example of that was Colbert's Super PAC, where he had a Super PAC of his own and demonstrated how friggin' stupid it is and how much money gets funneled into these political campaigns through a Super PAC because he had one of his own. So, I mean, that's just an example, but... yeah, I'm disseminating information. That's I guess that's my calling, and I can't stop. As much as I'd like to pull myself away, it's like I'm driven to do it because apparently people need to hear it.
But yes, so. But my question is, you know, with all of this information out there, people have so many choices on where to go to get their news now. And, of course, a lot of them still, as you say, listen to that idiot box. And would you say that idiot box is one of the large triggers going on here for all of the anxiety that's palatable out there in the greater community? Or would you say that it's, you know, a mixture, certainly it's a mixture of all, but would you say that it's more heavy on this is part of the time and the place, and here we are, and there is an inevitable change coming. I think what I'm getting at, ladies, is your take on the anxiety that's so filling the world. Do you think that it's going to itself become a trigger for a humongous social change, or it's just more of the same on a higher tension rod?
Well, my take on what's happening through the idiot box is they don't call it programs for nothing, because it is from a programming. And, I definitely think that that's a good part of what's happening with people in the realm of anxiety and nervousness and stress, which is a killer. And, I think about this all the time with myself, you know, how I can de-stress. But I found in my own environment, taking that box out of the equation was one of the best things I ever did. So
I got to say that, you know, I think you have a point. I really do. I haven't done that myself, but I don't watch news on television anymore. There's no reason. Oberman's gone. But the thing is that I think that the tension is something that's more of on the lines of cosmic than I do think it is about, just on a mundane level. Because if you think about it here, we have the European elections are going on. Didn't you post today, too, on that, Anita? The French president was ousted. And most of these elections that are going on in the EU right now are going towards anybody but the current leadership, because people are fed up with the austerity programs that are going to happen no matter who they put in, because that's the way it's run there, the same way it is run here. There's an overall diagram here.
Well, I agree that a lot of the tension is vibrational and astrological. And, of course, I mean, you don't have one without the other. The astrological shifts and vibrational shifts are manifesting unrest in the street. As above, so below. It's not like you can have an aspect as cantankerous as Uranus squaring Pluto, which has been going on to a greater and lesser degree all year, and it's going to culminate in July, but it's getting closer and closer to the exact square. You put those two energies together, and you've got Pluto in Capricorn, which means it's not about, well, let's have some liberal change. Capricorn, Pluto said to Capricorn, I'm going to tear you down. We're going to burn it down. We're going to start all over. And and Uranus is all about, well, just because it's always been done this way doesn't mean we need to continue.
Right.
And, you know, both of them are about substantial change. And, you know, first we had the tea baggers in the street, and I was very disappointed. I said that something's wrong. The wrong group is in the street. And now we got everybody in the street, which suits me better, you know. We don't want to worry about free radicals. We want them out in the street. We want them free.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to tell you, I think the Occupy movement is definitely the spearhead of what's to come. And like Roseanne said, oh, man, did I get flack for putting that press release out. When I put out the press release about Roseanne, Green Party presidential candidate Roseanne Barr was the first and only presidential candidate to address Occupy Wall Street. And, boy, people at me for that. And I said, wait a minute, here's the video. It's undisputed. She was there on September 17th. She read about it in the paper. She got on a plane, she flew there, and she talked to the crowd the very first day.
I saw the very same video.
That video, she says, I applaud you. I've been waiting for this all my life.
Yep.
I applaud you. I love you. I love your masks. I love what you're doing. I support you. And this is the beginning. This is the beginning of...
It's a very good point, Anita, because people need to know. They need to take Roseanne more seriously.
Absolutely.
And she isn't, you know, she's out there to raise awareness and get people up off their asses politically. And it really needs to get out there. All of the PR you're doing at this point, it could be driven by a thousand more mule teams, if you follow what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
People need to realize that she's serious. She filed her FEC paperwork. Even Facebook took her fan page and made it a community page. So I asked, what the hell's a community page? They said that a community page represents an idea. And I go, what the F? I'm going, she filed her FEC paperwork. She's a legitimate presidential candidate. And Facebook is saying this is an idea. So I said right on her Facebook page, hey, Facebook, get a grip.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because
well,
she seems really
to have a comfortable relationship with the overlords.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I was really pissed off about it, I can tell you that. I was punching walls. And then, of course, you can't touch with them either. So,
how are the Greens handling this?
Well, the Greens, therein lies a dilemma because, you know, as a member of the Green Party myself, and I'm not even supposed to say that, but I don't give a damn. I'm an elected nonpartisan official in the state of Florida, and I don't give a damn. I'm going to say, yes, I'm a Green, but I'm not supposed to identify as a Green or promote my party. Now, that sucks, and that's because of the election laws. But anyway, to make a long story short, we have three presidential candidates. One is Kent Messplay, who's definitely, you know, he's definitely eligible. He's done his paperwork. He represents the Green Party well, wonderful guy. But for some reason, his campaign never gained a lot of momentum. And then, of course, we have Jill Stein. She's very adept, very knowledgeable, represents the Greens, has been a faithful, devoted Green, has run for, actually, she's run for governor in the state of Massachusetts against Mitt Romney. So
wow.
She has experience. But, you know, people are finding out about her and learning about her. But until this campaign, people didn't even know who she was if they lived outside of New England. So, you know, if her campaign can gain, you know, all that traction, that's a good thing. I'm going to support any Green candidate. You know, I don't play dirty. I don't play dirty pool. I want to support any Green candidate that's running for any office anywhere. I think that's fair. We need alternatives. We've got to get a grip on this two-party duopoly we have that's taken over our political process, and it doesn't get us anywhere when we vote for either of the two. It's the same old, same old.
Especially
and then
when
with
they're not
Roseanne
really two
parties. Barr, of course, many, many people think that she's not serious and – you know, but she studied feminist politics for 15 years. She knows her stuff. She's, you know, she's not as polished a speaker as Dr. Jill Stein on politics. But Roseanne doesn't have any fear of getting in front of people and talking. And I'll tell you, the other thing that she's perfect at is calling out bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
She does that perfectly. Well,
yeah.
she did that with Mitt Romney's wife on how hard it was. Ann Romney, I guess, made a comment that it was difficult to raise boys, her boys, and, you know, how hard she worked. And Roseanne said on Twitter, you know, I call your bullshit, Ann.
Mm.
So I want to get back to you know, on track with the anxiety. I mean, there's even anxiety in the Green Party because there are these two candidates. Just going back to central theme here. Do you think there are surprises in store, ladies? for this year, this election year, and I'm not talking about apocalypse or something. I'm talking about the world stage.
Yes.
We've seen upset in France. That was a pretty big upset, actually.
Yeah, because I think they were really expecting the status quo. And for Sarkozy not to win, that was quite a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a socialist leader now. So that's great. I'm going to read up a little bit more about him. There was a green woman running, too. She had a fabulous website, Eva Jolie. She was absolutely perfectly capable of leading that country. And amazing. She's done some amazing work in the past, too. So, but I want to look at this socialist one and check him out a little bit more.
I have a question.
I know we're going to have the craziest election ever.
Yeah,
I predict.
I wonder, though. I have a question. A socialist was just elected, and of course they have been in the past, too, but a socialist was just elected in the anger, the wash of anger of the people of the country. But now here's the question I would ask, which is really the first thing you got to think about. Is it going to make any difference?
I don't think
I think more importantly, it has to come to a head because so many people are not only aware of what can happen and seeing changes happen in a lot of countries and with the waking up, I mean, so many more people you can tell, even if it's just a little bit, they're having to confront something within themselves, and obviously that's going to promote growth as well. And if you're growing and the system around you isn't, I think that separation becomes even more apparent. So maybe these people can't do something as soon as you get in there. I mean, you know, it's a big system, but at least it's a chipping away, and at least there is this momentum of people going, hey, listen, you know, this whole thing, not working, no thank you, and happening all over the world on all different fronts, it has to start this way. If it's going to become a revolution, who knows? But again, choosing something that's not violent, that gets that message and has the force, but isn't violent, I think is our MO, has to be our MO right now, because otherwise we're doing the same thing over.
I agree with you, Nicole. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be huge change because the politicians out there, even the socialists, they all want to say, well, it's too impossible to make the big changes. You know, it's not you who. If not now, when? I remember that sign down at Owls, and it struck me like a thunderbolt. It was like Zeus had spoken to me, you know, if not you, who? If not now, when? And I think that's that critical mass question. And that, you know, us being, you know, basically a bunch of witches here, I would ask you, I would ask you on the spiritual side of this, which it's all the same anymore. Your values are the absolute pronouncement of your politics. From my point of view, I know I could catch a few saber jousts in a few rooms on Facebook on that one. But here's the thing. If these elections are more window dressing for the status quo, and the status quo is killing society, basically. Are we agreed on that, or is there something there that isn't right?
Killing everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got drone warfare and everything else. It's not even figuratively speaking, it's literal.
Yeah, what can you eat, what can you drink, what can you breathe?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. We're all...
I can remember when I lived in New York City and I was going to school, And New York City's water, drinking water, was the cleanest in all, many parts of the world.
Scary.
And now if you go to test the drinking water in almost any huge city anymore or in many outlets, it's so filled with unfilterable medications that people are on that they piss into the system of reclamation water that it's just, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's a reality. When I read that earlier this year, I went, holy fucking shit, you gotta be here.
Well, you know, we are now in Neptune being in Pisces, and Neptune is about the water, but it's also about toxic substances. It's about poisons. It's about drugs. And
we go into Fukushima here?
Well, we sure could. I posted a bunch about that today. Scary as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our pal Kevin Blanche just put out one of his latest videos on it. Bless his heart. Boy, staying strong, that fella. And knows exactly what he, whereof he speaks from. And he's like, this has been since day one. They haven't done anything, and now they're turning to the UN and saying, help us, please. Shame on us. Shame on us. Shame on all of Europe. Shame on all the world that didn't step up. I said,
well, this is why, you know, we're going to have, like even Dr. Caldicott said, this is, you know, she prays for the children every day because she says that this is, she just about made that terminology when I saw her speak live, depopulation, because she said, they're not stopping it. It's continuing. She said the whole Northern Hemisphere has been through the contamination several times over. And, you know, not to throw the fear of God in all of us, but, you know, that's a fact coming from the expert.
Right.
So,
let me just say about that, there is a product called Radiation Balance. It's a homeopathic. And you can get it through a company called Celtic. I know they have it. There may be other companies that have it. I just happen to know that one does. And, you know, it's not a whole lot of money, but I think it'll do some good.
Well, anything that's going to help people now is, you know, is what's needed, because I really am very, very glad that I never had children, because I would not want them to be, you know, on the planet in these coming years, because one big portion of medical science that's going to be coming up and that's going to be so necessary is how we can maintain ourselves in detox mode and what we will need to do to do that.
No, there's also, there's been some huge, Anita, there has been some huge positive breakthroughs in science just in the last 8 months since Occupy began. I mean, they finally came to a final and completed successful calculation of M-string theory, and they spotted the Higgs boson. Now, if we're playing with please let me back that one up. Did you hear the tire screech?
Yep.
Jesus, my gillicuddy, Gwen. Okay. If we are talking about, you know, antimatter or the God particle, whatever you'd like to call it, and having the ability to work with something like that, the opportunities could be limitless. We don't know, for reversing some of these many horrific mistakes by humanity, you know?
I think it's fixable.
I think we really have to look at what the positives here are, because Anita brought it up, you know, she's glad she didn't have children. Well, I knew that my work was my child, and I had tears about it when I understood it. But I'll tell you what, I got a nephew. I love him dearly. I want him to enjoy a family and a home, and I know all of you have people. I have friends and family I love very much who have children who are bright and gifted, crystal children, indigo children, you know, the big hitters are here on the planet. So there's hope and there's prayer and there's the demonstration of what we can do. And my question keeps coming back around to, is this anxiety, is it some kind of a trigger too?
Well, I think it's a response to an energetic shift, and it is affecting our nervous system. It is affecting our DNA.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going there. I'm with you. Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of ways we can work with that, but I mean, I'm pretty advanced in all this stuff, and it's still a challenge.
I don't think that anybody out there walking right now, I mean, I know folks who've got 2 feet planted on the ground, they walk, they go into work every day, they're responsible for a large company getting done, and they're aware that the world is melting, they fear for their children, they're holding it together, and they're putting the positive energy out. But questions that bring up anxiety require solutions and answers. And the only thing we can do is discuss what to come to. This is how we find our solutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is what my reaction has been to the anxiety, my what ifs, you know, that are happening to me. It's pushing on places that have needed healing for a really long time and haven't served me ever. And So I'm also overthrowing my own dictators that are telling me that, you know, I need to do things a certain way that just doesn't work. It is not productive. So, you know, that's where I see the anxiety as the blessing, because it's really putting the fuel and the fire under my ass to fix it, because I know that I have the power to fix it. I've been schooled in this since I was a little girl, and my father and his findings. So I know that I can change my mind and change my vibration and therefore change the world around me. But and I'm really being put to the test. So knowing that it's for a teaching is really half the battle. But for me, it's been about just pushing forward and doing the things that I want to do the way that I know to do them the most efficiently and the most with joy as I possibly can. And when I see myself, you know, struggle with it, I give myself some time to sit with it and pick it up again. I know I can only do what my awareness is allowing me. And everything we've spoken about with the world, I can apply all of it to myself, you know, trying to change the system here, you know, one election at a time internally.
Uh-huh. I totally, totally agree with you. When I think most of us can be pretty crisis-oriented. And you know, if everything's going pretty well, no big bumps in the road, we kind of just go through our time, and we don't necessarily push to do the most we possibly can. And then, at least for me, I hit some crisis, or the world hits one, and I respond, okay, I really got to get busy in there making the gem elixirs. And when I am in my zone, when I am operating in the fifth dimension where everything is possible and I'm not in the space of doubt and frustration and limitation, I'm squarely anchored in that place of all things are possible, and I'm going to put my very best energy and everything I know into that particular pot to make that happen. And when I'm there, it's great.
You know, the visions that we all get and walk with, what feeds us and our hearts and minds, our dreams, our visions. You know, I think about the kids and how amazingly accelerated they are. And mind you, technology has something to do with it, but let's, ladies, we understand, too, that the new children are, you know, a mutant to the way that their brains are turned on. But here's the thing. I've seen some of the handiwork. I mean, there's plenty of them who are, for instance, artists. Others are little creators. I mean, you know, when you see a child, it could be 4 or 5 years old, that has 6, you know, different Lincoln log villages created, that would take me, you know. I mean, come on. It's amazing, and it's wonderful, and it's exhilarating, and it gives you hope. But where are they getting their vision? Their visions are they around us, you know, right now? Are they seeing what we can't see? The positives and the negatives. Are they giving us messages that we're not hearing, too, is another thing that came to me today I wondered about. Are we not hearing messages from just the kids who are actually sort of sublingually giving them to us? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think I lost you all, didn't I?
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, when I went to Trisha's school and I saw her class that are 2-year-olds, they all stood out in an interesting way that when I thought about, what is it, like 1,200 days that they've been alive and the level that a lot of them were working on, and I actually saw one of them seemed like he was really already going through it. Like something was really bothering him internally, and it was clear that he didn't have the words at all to express it, but there was like a sadness to him, and it looked like it had been there maybe since day one. I mean, you know, how much sadness can you accumulate in 2 years in a school like that, you know? So there was definitely something happening there, and I was watching them like they definitely felt different. Like when I saw kids, you know, that were the same age like 10 years ago, it felt a little bit more familiar, kind of like myself, and now these kids seem very different to me. So I think
they're amazing children. They are just amazing children. I mean, even the toddlers, they stun me constantly, and they have for over 10 years. We've got a caller on the last 7 minutes here from New York City, and I'll bet I know who that is.
Well, it's Trisha, and we're talking about my kids.
Exactly.
These are my kids, you know, and I mean, I get it about toxins in the environment and stuff and how people would feel like this is a tough time to have kids, but, you know, I would submit that the bubonic plague was a drag, too, and, you know, a lot of things have happened, you know, Spanish Inquisition, all of that, things, you know, and the kids always seem to make it through, and so I think that your question about what's the difference is these kids are in, I suspect that as a result of a few things, not the least of which is technology and the parents talking to each other and texting and doing whatever on the cell phone or their babysitter, whoever grown-ups they're with, because the grown-ups are fixated on each other and not paying attention to their kids like we did. My kid is 21, and back then it was incumbent upon early childhood educators and parents to be kind of like the one-woman show and, you know, keep this perpetual conversation going with the child in order to stimulate language development and all of that. These kids are learning it from each other, and I believe that because that something's happened so that they turned inward and are more industrious in a way that you would expect somebody more like 7, 8, 9, 10 to be industrious. The block structures they're building are a lot more advanced now at 2 than they were 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Anyway, big changes, and they're hearing it from within, and that's the inner voice we're all trying to connect with anyway. Spirit.
Well said.
It comes right out.
Very
well
said.
Well said, Tricia. I agree with you, all of you. What I really wanted to do was to stir the water here today, and anyone listening or who does listen in the future, to be thinking about all of the triggers and catalysts that are surrounding us right now, and to come from different directions than just seizing up with tension, you know. Think about the changes that we just embrace. The adventure is the best thing I can think to say. I mean, Flash, how about you?
Well, you know, everybody is getting great big downloads of psychic energy, and we all have psychic energy. Some of us have more, like any other talent, but everybody's got some, and so everybody is accelerating, and it's like things are moving faster. The acceleration is faster for the children, for the people, for the animals, and we're having terrific opportunities for growth. Challenging, but very, very special.
I think we're in the midst of a special time. Anita, do you have a hail and farewell comment?
I'm just going with the flow. I mean, I had the anxiety several months ago, a month ago when I wasn't working. Things have rectified themselves for now. So I think I'm just focusing on what happens after November and how whatever I can do can sustain my household. So I'm definitely going with the flow for now, but making plans for the immediate future too. So it's a lot to think about, and I don't sleep a lot.
Oh,
me
God.
Neither.
And Nick, do you have anything you want to contribute?
Yeah, I'd say that a lovely thing to do is to recognize the things that you're doing better now that you didn't before. And I find that knowing just how much we're absolutely capable of, and always finding the easiest way to do it in the most joyful manner it grounds me beyond belief to remember that. So that's what I would share.
And Tricia, have you got a last thing to say here? We got about
I've been anxious myself these last moving, whatever, lots of transitions, but I'm going with the flow too, you know. It's it feels good, it feels right, it feels fast, and and enjoy the ride. It is an eventual.
I like that. Ladies, you've been so much fun. You've put a really, really great spin on things, and I think we did ask questions that folks need to be thinking about, tear themselves away from all of the other stuff and think about themselves and the greater picture and where they are in it. That's the larger part of that. I hope you guys will think about coming back for a reunion. What do you think?
I'd love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right now, if those of you listening will just we're going to get out of here. I'm going to play us off with a melody tune, and when we're done, please go on over to Progressive News Net. Boy, I'm having it today, aren't I? Tongue ain't working.
It's one of the symptoms.
I'm holding back. Progressive News Network with Rick Spezak. He has a wonderful show this evening. Don't miss it. And remember, Thursday nights with Nicole Tomasini and Gwendolyn Berry for the Consciousness Shift, where we'll do this all over again. And, hey, thanks, ladies. You're all very...
You're beautiful people. You live in the same world as I do, but somehow I never noticed you before today. I'm ashamed to say, beautiful people, we share the same back door and it isn't right. We never met before, but then we may never meet again. If I weren't afraid you'd laugh at me, I would rot and take all of your hands in. I'd gather everyone together for a day, and when we gathered our best bottoms out there say, beautiful people, then you'll never be alone, there'll always be someone with the same button on as you, include him in everything you do. Beautiful people, you ride the same subway as I do every morning. That's gotta tell you something. Got so much in common. I go the same direction that you do. So if you take care of me, maybe I'll take care of you. Beautiful people, you look like friends of mine, and it's about time that someone said it here. And now I make a vow that sometime, somehow,
Sunday show for Hear Me Monsters. I certainly thank everyone who listened in and guest in the chat room. I do have one thing I want to read before I lose the line here. I realize it's at the end, but I found it interesting and it comes to bear. And it was posted on Facebook in one of the more spiritual rooms. It's posted by a lady named Kat Palladian Mandu. And it says, quote, some of you are losing faith because you seem to think that the journey, quote, that we are on is a linear path. It is not a linear path, my friends. This is a third dimensional idea which creates limitations and boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You are already there. It's just a hair's breadth away, so don't despair. We are not crossing the Red Sea. We are not walking the desert. Enlightenment is literally a 90-degree shift of consciousness. The difference being is you have to find the key which unlocks that new dimension. The key, my friends, is love. That's it. when you love everything and everyone and every blade of grass and every peculiar quirk, every misplaced intention, you'll be there. You may still experience negativity, but it will be short-lived. As long as you keep an eye on the prize, all will be well. It is not the nature of existence that is the goal, but the way we go about getting there, with an open mind and a good heart. How do you know if you're on track? You feel good. Everything around you feels good. You can't wipe the smile off your face because you feel so damn good all the time. And it's not because someone complimented you or boosted your ego in some way. It's because that has become so habitual with you, seeing and focusing on the positive is now your natural state of being. That's when you know you've come home. Namaste, my loves. How evolved is that?
I like it.
I hear you, Flash. I hear you there. I know you stuck with it. And is that a piece or is that a piece?
It's beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous. I just love to say it. Maybe I should just about every show, you know? Anyways, thanks for being with me today, sweetie. I'll see you soon on the air.
All right.
And that's all we have for you. Don't forget today, folks, go on over to Progressive News Network and listen to Rick Spisak. He's got a heck of a guest for you today. That's all she wrote.